cocaine killer. He cries, he's so nice. He's so nice.
What was the inspiration for Jesus, Cocaine, Ketamine, Christ?
Yeah, so that's an interesting one. A lot of people ask me about that. I think that's a hard one to answer, but growing up in a small town and having exposure to things like evangelical churches and small town way of life and small town thinking and at least for myself, this sort of limited worldview, this like limited with limited surroundings. And then going from that, and then when I was 17, I moved to the big city and I started experiencing all sorts of things and seeing things. And I think it's sort of a paradox of things I've seen. And then it's also, the song is kind of an irony. And it's talking about sort of how, for some people, their ecstasy is their hands up, like the hands up evangelicals to their personal Jesus Christ. That's their ecstasy. That's their drug. And then the other people, their drug is, you know, is illicit. It's like cocaine or ketamine and just the delirium that exists within both fields. And the song is not slandering either. It's just an observation of, you know, I don't know if that makes sense, but that's kind of, I wanted to write sort of a paradoxical song and a sort of edgy song that kind of makes you think, I guess.
When do you feel most in your element personally, when you're writing, recording, or performing on a stage?
I don't know. I was a solo musician for a long time. I played as, I called myself the Shoal Lake Kid. And I always found that exhilarating, but scary. I mean, you're like, there's a ton of exposure. you go up there and everyone's just looking at you. And when you mess up, they hear you. And it can either be really exciting or really gutting. And I think when I started playing with a band, I dabbled with this, like, with this band that I'd started called Soup, and I was with members of a local band called Living Hour. And the kind of the first show we played together, I was like, oh man, like, this is so much more fun and so much more comfortable. And then now with Amos the Kid shows, I feel far more relaxed on stage, and I think I've, like, found a sort of different element that I didn't know was possible in feeling comfortable on stage. And it's felt like a lot more fun, and when you do that, it's like, okay, this is all worth it. Like, all the work, all the promotion, all of it's like, it's just worth it. It's fun.
I know everything's kind of topsy-turvy in everyone's world right now, but what's on the horizon for you over the next few months musically?
Yeah. So this was sort of a bizarre time to release music. The first single, What Did You Do, came out prior to knowledge of pandemic, and it was doing quite well. We got lots of press, and then we released Jesus, Cocaine, Ketamine, Christ, which did, I mean, still doing pretty well. And then kind of everything else happened all at the same time, and we were set to have a release show on April 3rd at a local venue here, and canceled that. And then we kind of had plans for a bunch of music festivals this summer that were kind of coming to be. And then those are all up in the air. I think some of them are canceled. So yeah, I don't know. It's like a lot of unknowns right now. And in some ways it's disappointing, because you would like to feel this sort of upward trajectory, but things happen. And if this is the worst thing that's happened to me throughout this time, it's not that bad, because a lot of people have it really bad. So yeah, I don't know. It's disappointing, but it's the way it is. So looking forward, we're going to start recording again in the fall when we can. And we're doing kind of a lot of background work, like grant writing and those sorts of things. But yeah, right now we're just kind of waiting it out, and I'm trying to write, and but right now not a lot going on.
Where can we find you online to keep track of the new things that you come up with during this creative period?
Bandcamp is a good one. So any sort of purchasing of music or actual physical copies, we released this EP on cassette, so that can be found on Bandcamp. So that's certainly the ideal. So that's Amos the Kid at bandcamp.com. And then I'm on SoundCloud under House of Wonders. So that's the label I'm on, and they have a SoundCloud. And then on the various streaming services like Spotify, Apple Music, I think on Deezer, Google Play, and even TikTok.
Perfect. I'd like to take us out with your song, What Did You Do? What can you tell me about that one?
Yeah, so What Did You Do is probably the least lyrically complex song I have on the EP. I mean, I wouldn't say anything. As far as poetry, I wouldn't say anything I write is terribly complex, but What Did You Do is kind of straight to the point. Especially when I was younger, I have a lot of memories of a less respectable version of myself and my friends. I don't know if that's true, but going around to kind of our favorite local venues or dive bars or whatever, and one in particular, and down the street from the music venue that a lot of us hang out at, there's this kind of bottle stop or beer store. And the thing to do was always to go and buy King cans of this, like, Facts Royal Strong, it's called. It's this disgusting beer. And we'd go to the alley. There's, like, this dark alley behind the venue. And we would shotgun or drink beers in this alley. And then we would go in and see our show. And there was always this kind of, it's like this habitual thing where we would, like, I don't know, every concert night that we'd go to, we'd go and buy beer outside of the venue, and then we drink and we go in the venue. And there's this sort of funny thing where you end up in the venue and inevitably one of your friends is just maybe too, you know, crazy for what's going on. And I think a lot of people have had this feeling where it's like, okay, what did we do? Like, like, we're not fitting the vibe in here, and I think we got to go. So that's part of the song, and then there's this other kind of funny part that's about having house keys between your knuckles and popping a beer and shotgunning, and then inevitably at the end of the night, everyone on their cell phones, and there's a line that's legs on legs on legs on ground. And that's kind of like the funny image to me of the pile out at the end of the night when the venue's closing and everyone's sitting on the curb and they're waiting for their rides, or they're waiting to find out where the after party is. And it's kind of, I don't know, it's never like as good as you think it's going to be. I don't know. It's about just a debaucherous, silly night.
We've definitely all had some of those. Amos, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Thank you very much.
Dance beyond the headline. That shit just don't fly.